Coming up on today's Hot Zone, could things get any worse in Syria? And we finally have a winner of the elections in Afghanistan. That's all coming up on today's podcast.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. I hope you'll like and share it with your friends. Please go do that right now. Just pause it. Go and hit like and hit subscribe. Share it with your friends because we want this thing to grow. But let's talk about Afghanistan. When I was there in August, they were getting ready for their elections in September. And once the elections happened, it took until November, they said, for them to count the votes. But it didn't happen in November. It didn't happen in December. It didn't happen in January. They just now announced the winner of the election. And by a razor-thin margin, Ashraf Ghani, the former president, the incumbent, actually won the election, according to third-party independent observers, by a margin of, he got 50.96% of the vote. I mean, just a razor-thin margin. Now, the number two guy, Abdullah, he got like 39% of the vote, but he is saying, no, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to be the new leader of Afghanistan. And so even though the United States just brokered a deal with the Taliban to reduce the violence, notice they said reduce the violence. They didn't say eliminate the violence. That makes no sense to me. But suffice it to say, we just inked a deal with the Taliban that where they promised to reduce the violence and so that we can finally get our troops out of there after it becoming the longest war in American history. But now I would say we might be seeing a lot more violence in Afghanistan after these elections because it's now disputed. The incumbent won, but the challenger is refusing to concede. And so things are just going to be a mess. Here's a little package I put together when I was there in August talking about the violence and the elections. I'm standing right at the entrance to Kabul University where a big car bomb went off about 3 weeks ago. The Taliban has been stepping up attacks inside Kabul and around Afghanistan to try to use them as a bargaining chip in the peace negotiations of all things, which is kind of ironic. But the bottom line is that everybody wants this war to end. The Taliban want the U.S. troops to leave. U.S. troops would love to leave, but it's more complicated than that. We've got to figure out how to end the war and not simply stop it. Because when you just declare the war stopped and don't actually win, then what that means is that it's going to come back to bite you later. Reference Korea and even Germany and, you know, any place else where we've fought a war and haven't decisively ended that war, we could end up being there for a long, long time. And even the Democratic candidates in the United States for president for the 2020 elections are talking about Afghanistan as the forever war. And I think a lot of Americans feel that way. But you have to understand there's more to it than just Afghanistan, because having troops here gives us a base to contain Iran right next door. And consequently, on the other side of Iran, in Iraq, having troops at bases there kind of allows us to bracket that country and sort of keep them contained. That is an important factor. And so I think for a long time to come, we're going to need to have troops, at least a few, in both places, here in Afghanistan and also in Iraq. At the end of July, there was a massive car bomb that went off this building right behind me. This was the offices of the president's running mate, the vice presidential candidate for the upcoming presidential elections that are supposed to happen at the end of September. And the two people were killed initially, and then gunmen stormed this building, and dozens and dozens were hurt, including the vice presidential candidate himself. And the gunfight went on for over 6 hours right here. You can see the aftermath of this. There's burned out cars, and the whole building's burned out. All of the The windows have been blown out for blocks all the way around. You can see them. Even the shopkeepers that had their little kiosks out on the street had their shops blown out into the road over a block away. It was a pretty massive firefight, a massive explosion. And it just goes to show the extent that the Taliban are willing to go to try to make their point that they've still got power here in Afghanistan, especially in the run-up to the Afghan elections in the end of September. Okay, now here's the really weird thing. Abdullah Abdullah and Ashraf Ghani have been serving together as the vice president and the president of Afghanistan since 2014, when we had the same thing happen. Both of them ran against each other. Both of them claimed victory. And under pressure from the United States, we made them kind of agree to form a national unity government. And so this is deja vu all over again. Really strange. And it kind of makes you, even though the United States election process is a mess, it's very contentious, it's very divided, and it seems like everybody hates each other right now, it's still better than Afghanistan. So there's that. Okay, let's move on and talk about Syria. Now, you kind of wonder, could Syria get any worse than it's already been? But the answer is always yes, it seems like. The Syrian government under Bashar al-Assad has been really pushing into the Idlib and Aleppo area to just try to get rid of the last pockets of resistance in there. And of course, as usual, the civilians in that area are really suffering. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because Dave Eubank and the Free Burma Rangers are there in Syria right now, and they are treating those wounded. They are helping those internally displaced people in very harsh conditions. It's super cold in Syria right now. It is snowing, it's sleeting, and the people are freezing to death. They've had more than 70 children that have already died this month. And so it's really bad right there. I want to show you a little bit from a briefing that was given by the World Health Organization and the UN over the last few days. And listen to what the director of the World Health Organization had to say about what's going on in Syria.
Since the 1st of December, dozens of health facilities have suspended services in the Idlib and Aleppo areas. Out of nearly 550 health facilities in northwest Syria, only about half are operational. Two attacks on health facilities took place yesterday afternoon on two separate hospitals in Aleppo. Luckily, there were no casualties.
Now, President Trump was leaving on Air Force One the other day and commented on what's going on in Syria, says that he has talked with Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey. And, you know, I just hate this. I want you to hear what the president had to say, and then I'll tell you what I think about it.
I spoke to President Erdogan of Turkey the other day. Are you concerned about all-out war breaking out between Turkey and Syria?
I did. I had a very good conversation with President Erdogan. I respect him. We have a very good relationship. Yes, I agree. He's a tough guy, but we have a very good relationship. I seem to do better with tough people. But the fact is that he's fighting on Idlib. He doesn't want people to be killed by the thousands and hundreds of thousands. And he called me about that and other reasons. But we spoke about Idlib, and we're working together on seeing what can
be
done.
What's the solution?
Well, it's a very tough solution. You have a lot of warring going on right now. A lot of warring going on. But I'm dealing with President Erdogan.
Okay, so it seems like it's Donald Trump's kind of modus operandi to embrace these enemies of freedom, enemies of America. And I don't think that means, like a lot of people say, that he likes those people. I think he's used to using the term keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I think he understands that Erdogan is an enemy, at least I hope he does. And I think he also understands some of the complexity involved there. But I still don't agree with the tack that he's taking here in trying to work with Erdogan, because it makes it seem like Erdogan is leading him around by the nose. I really don't think that's exactly what's happening. I think there's a lot more to it, because you got to understand, he's the president of the United States. He gets a lot more information than we do. But having been on the ground and having seen the effects of his policy in that area, I can tell you that it's caused a lot of hardship for a lot of people, and that's unfortunate. I don't think he means to do that, but I think it's just the fallout of the tack that he's taking with Erdogan, Turkey, and Syria. Now, the majority of the suffering that's taking place right there at the moment in Idlib and Aleppo is not being caused by Turkey. It's being caused by Bashar al-Assad. Nevertheless, maybe that's why Trump is approaching Erdogan, because Erdogan and Assad don't get along either. Again, very complex, very difficult environment. But the bottom line is the Free Burma Rangers are there, and they're just on the ground helping people, and they help everybody. I wanted to let you know that, and I mentioned this before, there's a feature-length film coming out about the Free Burma Rangers and about Dave Eubank and his family on February 24th and 25th in theaters across the country. You can go to fbrmovie.com and you can put in your zip code and find the nearest theater. I highly recommend you go see that movie. Definitely worth your time. Some of the footage in there may or may not have been filmed by me, but maybe not. I don't know. The bottom line is I haven't actually seen the whole thing yet, and I'm going to see it here in Reno on the 24th. So I'll probably have a review of that after the movie comes out, and I really highly recommend you go see it. It's going to be a great, great flick about a great man and his family. One of the most impressive human beings on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned, is Dave Eubank, and his family's not far behind. So that's all I've got for the Hot Zone today, folks. Thanks for watching and being a part of it. I hope you, again, please share it with your friends. I'll be back again on Friday. Have a good week. See you.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.